The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
The Gospel according to St. Mark. The Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 3, reading from verse 22. Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 3, reading from verse 22. So we read 22 through 27. The title of today's message is Plundering the Goods of the Strong Man. Plundering the Goods of the Strong Man. We would do well to explain the meaning of any word that is in the title, so nobody should be bothered. But let's go to our passage for today, Mark chapter 3, verse 22 onwards. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, "He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of devils he cast out devils. And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, How can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end." And he says, "No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, then he will spoil his house." So we just read from 22 through 27. The title again, Plundering the Goods of the Strong Man. What does it mean to plunder? The word plunder, number one, means to loot, to raid, to ravage, ransack, and spoil. It means to loot, raid, ravage, ransack, and spoil. I'll come back to explain that. Number two, plunder means to steal goods from a person or place by using force, especially in the time of war. To steal goods from a person or a place by using force, especially in the time of war. Ukraine was seated somewhere quietly. Russia began to line up their tanks and they started heading into a territory that was not theirs. Their desire was to take over the country of the Ukrainians. And they went in by force, destroyed some things, and those in the Russian army who could take away some things, I'm sure they must have taken those things away. By the way they invaded Ukraine, by the way they attacked Ukraine, and by the way Russia applied force and literally took away some goods, they had entered to plunder the whole city. If we come back to the first meaning, it means to loot, to raid, to ravage, to ransack, and to spoil. There has been a certain custom among the God traditional folks, which is properly called Ayiko. And in Ayiko, I don't know what is celebrated, but they go around town and they try to loot things, just take away things that does not belong to them by force. And whatever goods they find inside, they plunder it. And so you find that shop owners on that occasion will close the gates of their shops, and people that display their wares on table will quickly collect their things and move away with their goods so that these looters will not lay hands on their wares. So we are talking about the church having been empowered by Christ after the death of Christ to move into a domain of battle, to use divine aggression and enter into the colony of the enemy and take away goods that he may have stolen previously from the church, so that God will restore his people. Let me hear a proper amen from you. The text we read has to do with Jesus, who was so anointed that he was going from region to region. And in one of the regions, when you read in verse 2, or even from verse 1 of the same chapter 3, the Bible says Jesus entered into the synagogue and there was a man with a withered hand. And they watched whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day so that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said to them, he asked the gathering that were there, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save a life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as the other. And then the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. So Jesus went into the synagogue. It was a Sabbath. A man with a withered hand appeared. Jesus was about to heal the man, but he realized that there were people that were going to oppose this ministry of his. So he had to set the record straight by asking them, is it good to do good on the Sabbath? The Bible said that the people did not answer, and he went ahead and healed them, the man with the withered hand. Following that, the Bible says that they went into conspiracy to find how to destroy him. If you read on, you will realize that they began to accuse Jesus, and they began to accuse him of using demonic spirits to heal people who had been afflicted by the devil. Then they said he was Beelzebub. In other words, he was the queen of demons, and he was a demon of flies, and on. And Jesus had to answer, and in his answering, he used a parable. Parables are stories that are told relating to matters on earth, but they have a spiritual meaning. They are told on earth, but they have a heavenly meaning. They are told in the natural, but they have a spiritual meaning. And the parables are told so that we can apply the lessons thereof to our lives and improve upon our relationship with God and with man. So Jesus spoke concerning the parable, and he says that how can Satan rise against Satan? How can Satan use his power to cast out Satan? And it says in verse 24, and if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And he said in 25, and if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand but at an end. So first of all, he says if a kingdom is divided against itself, it cannot stand. And if Satan rises against himself, he still cannot stand. And if a house also should rise against itself, that house cannot stand. Then Jesus goes ahead in verse 27, which is our key verse for today. He says, no man can enter into a strong man's house. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Let me take it again. Verse 27. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, then he will spoil his house. Now let me read the same thing from the Amplified Version. It says, no one can enter a strong man's house and steal his property unless he first overpowers and ties up the strong man, then he will ransack and rob his house. Let me take the Amplified again. No one can enter a strong man's house and steal his property. That has to do with plundering. Unless he first overpowers and ties up the strong man, then he can ransack and rob his house. Then he can ravage. Then he can raid. Then he can ransack. Then he can loot and take the spoils of that battle away. The expression no one simply means nothing. Nothing can penetrate the defense of the strong man as long as he's well fortified. In other words, a strong man's possessions are safe as long as he's well armed and can defend his territory. A strong man's possessions are safe as long as he's well armed and can defend his territory. I told you about the attack by Russia on Ukraine. There are warships that Russia has, submarines. There are warplanes that Russia has, and there are many kinds of different armaments and different artillery that the Russian army has that the Ukrainian army has not got. Now, the goods of the Ukrainians would have been safe, their possessions would have been safe if they were well armed and could defend their territory. But because they were not well armed, their possessions were not safe. And therefore, they could not defend their territory, neither could they defend their possessions. But then the Bible is saying that when a strong man is disarmed and is overpowered, then his goods can be plundered. In other words, to reach the possessions and the goods and the property of this strong man, you must first disarm him And you must secondly overpower him. The reason why Jesus went to the cross, shed his blood and died and was buried and rose up on the third day and ascended up after the 40th day was simply to defeat the devil, was simply to bring to an end the rule of the enemy over humanity, and to give that victory to the church in the name of Jesus Christ. So Jesus said, I give unto you all power, the same power that he used in defeating the enemy. He said, I give unto you all power in heaven and on earth. So your power is far reaching into the heavens, and your power can be felt in every corner of the earth. So behold, I give you power in heaven and on earth, all power, not some power, that you might tread over serpents and over scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and they shall by no means hurt you. In the olden times, the way to humiliate an enemy was to put your neck on his, was to put your leg on his neck. And the Bible says Jesus defeated the devil. So figuratively, it's saying that Satan has been put under your feet. He has been disarmed. He has had his power destroyed, and therefore can no longer defend himself like he used to, and has been placed under your feet, under your authority, under your power. If at any stage Satan seeks to get out from under your feet and cause chaos and havoc and try to plunder your goods, the Bible expects you to put him back into his place by using the name of Jesus, by using the power of the Word of God, and by releasing the power of the Holy Spirit to deal with the enemy forces. Can I hear an amen? So no one can enter into a strong man's house and steal his property unless he first overpowers and ties up the strong man. Then he will ransack and rob his house. No one can enter. Enter means gain access. Enter means go into the place. No one can enter the strong man's house. The word house refers to property. It refers to residence. In Satan's house, the properties that you will find are sickness, disease, sin, demonic possession and oppression, and death. In Satan's house, those are the things you're going to find. You're going to find the devil, you're going to find demons, you're going to find sin, you're going to find sicknesses, diseases, and then you're going to find death. And these are some of the things that he would use in attacking the church, in attacking the people of God, so he will seek to destroy the household of faith. But the Bible says, for this purpose, where he's invading the territories of Christians and ransacking and looting their property, for this purpose was the Son of Man made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Did Jesus destroy the works of the devil? Yes. The Bible says that we who were flesh and blood were afflicted of the devil, The same also likewise took upon himself flesh and blood, and went into the domains of hell, and dealt with the devil, and destroyed him, and gave power to the church. I want you to shout an amen that agrees with the word of God. So who is the strong man? And we'll have to explain it well. Number one, in the Greek, the word strong man means mighty and powerful. Strong man means mighty and powerful. In the Greek, the word is Chiron, is derived from Iskos. Is Chiron is I-S-C-H-Y-R-O-N. I-S-C-H-Y-R-O-N. R-O-N. Iskyron means forcible. So a strong man means one who is mighty, one who is powerful, and this person uses his might and power forcibly to acquire things. He uses his might and power to bully people. And the Bible says no one can enter into the devil's realms and carry off possessions that he has previously looted from the church, except we plunder his goods. And before that, we have to bind him. Before that, we have to disarm him, knowing that Jesus disarmed him and paralyzed him, and made him of no effect, and made an open and a public show of him, displaying him in the principal streets in the realms of the supernatural, so that the devil was humiliated and put to shame on that occasion. As the church of Jesus Christ, we are called upon to enforce this victory that Christ has won for the church. If you have the victory and you fail to enforce it, you are going to allow the one who has been defeated and placed under your feet to come out from that place and to torment you. But God forbid. You must live up to your calling, live up to your expectations that God has for you, and take your stand and deal with any enemy spirit that may rise up against you. The Bible says, for we war not against flesh and blood. Our battle is not against your mother-in-law, and it's not against your stepmother or stepfather, and it's not against your father-in-law, and it's not against the other neighbor that does not like you. Our warfare is not against human beings, but it is against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It is against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. So a believer must have time and have an occasion where he or she is praying and dealing with these things which have been outlined in the word of God. You cannot act like you are ignoring the thing and just praying for your miracle. Oh God, just bless me, but don't let the principality see it. You cannot act like, oh God, I know you are all powerful and you can do all things, so you just do it for me the way I want. You see, if the goods come to you and you are not strong enough in your house, then the strong man will come against you. Oh. Then the strong man will come against you and plunder your goods. Can I hear a strong amen from you? So sometimes God will wait till you have built spiritual muscles by way of study of the word, spiritual muscles by way of prayer, and spiritual muscles by way of increased anointing in your life. There is a period where we pray to get answers. Ask and it shall be given. There is another period that we make maybe an inquest, if I may use that word, where we seek to find. And there is another prayer where we knock so that the door shall be opened. Some of the prayers may be for us, others may be for other people, others may be for the church or our local community. Oh, let me hear a good amen from someone. In the midst of doing all these prayers and God answering them, one other thing that God seeks is that you will grow as a spiritual person. Say amen. That you will develop and be strong so that you yourself, you are a strong man. Because by the definition of a strong man there, we are saying somebody who is mighty and powerful and somebody who forcibly takes things. The Bible says the kingdom of God suffered violence. Where does that violence come from against the kingdom of God? It comes from the kingdom of the devil, where the enemy thinks he's a strong man. And therefore, he has been using that violence and force against you to establish his will so that the will of God in your life is undermined. But the Bible also adds that it is the violent Christian that takes it by force. There are things that you are not going to take because you stand like a lawyer to say that I put it to you, devil, bring back my goods. There are things that you are not going to get back from the enemy because you went on your knees and begged him not to touch your family. No. The devil does not know the language of diplomacy. The language that he knows is the language of violence. And if you gently rebuke him, he may not go. But if you rebuke him with every earnestness, every seriousness, and you disallow him where you are, he will not be able to operate where you are. The Bible says, unless you enter into the strong man's house and spoil his goods, enter into the strong man's house so that you can plunder his goods, the Bible is saying you must bind the strong man. The word bind means to tie, like with a rope. It means to fasten. It means to secure. You've bound the thing and secured it. If you have a dangerous animal that you have brought temporarily to your house, you must fasten the lock. You must keep that animal in. Bind means to imprison. Many times prisons have many walls. The building of the cell has a main gate, and the cell has a gate, and there may be two more gates. The outer one will be the highest. So there may be about five barriers that a prisoner must scale in order to escape. So when we bind, we tie, we fasten, we secure, we imprison. In binding, you are disallowing. There's a will of the enemy that he may want to impose upon you. There's a desire, there's an expectation of the devil, but you must disallow it. So we disallow that we will live in misery. I say we disallow that we live in pain. I say we disallow that we live in frustration. We disallow that we live in depression. And we disallow that we live in fear and poverty. So when you bind, another word is incapacitate. If somebody has the capacity to do something, then the person has the power to execute it. So if you incapacitate the person, you have taken away the person's power, the person's authority. To bind also means to forbid. In other words, we are forbidding accidents on the highways and accidents on the byways. Do I need to tell you to shout amen for your own self? We are forbidding premature death where you are. Oh, let me hear an amen. Let me hear an amen. We are forbidding that your end should be an end where you weep and sorrow. May your end be better. Because the scriptures have said that mark a perfect man, for his end is peace. May peace characterize your end. So you cannot plunder the goods of the strong man unless you first bind him, tie him, fasten him, secure that place, imprison him, disallow, prohibit him, incapacitate him, and forbid him. By binding, you are removing the bad influence of the enemy from your life. There are certain negative influences that we have to remove from our children's life. If your child was sent to school and a teacher who is a homosexual, practice your homosexuality at home. Do what you want to do till toilet from your anal pack begins to pour to the ground. But don't bring that education into the school or anywhere, trying to suggest that a relationship between man and man is good, and a relationship between a sexual relationship between woman and woman is good. It is a negative influence. And therefore, in your prayers, it must cover influences of even witchcraft. There may be children around the school who bear witchcraft, and they may have influence from time to time on your word. You rebuke the negative influence. There may be influences that we may call negative peer pressure. And so as your child goes to school, another child from another community that has learned the wrong thing begins to teach the children in the school the wrong thing. You rebuke that negative behavior, negative character, negative trait from the life of your child. Can I hear an amen? The Bible says, walk not with an angry man, lest you learn his ways. I rebuke any demonic anger as a negative influence which may have rubbed on your life. Can I hear an amen? So there are negative influences. Some people will influence you, and don't go to church again. As for church people, they are not serious. It is your relationship with God that matters. So sit at home and read the Bible. But there's a scripture that contradicts what this person is telling you, because he says, forsaking not the assembling together of the brethren. It's a negative influence. Oh, stop giving tithes and offerings. Oh, they are not using it for any good purpose. Oh, stop it. The relationship is between you and God. This person may be helping you to be poorer. And when you are poor, you will need the church one day. So humble yourself, follow the word of God, and you will never regret in the name of Jesus. Can you clap and shout to God's glory? Oh, there are people who stand in your neighborhood. Dana kaya somo. Shiwa na anuko. Akaya soma solikati sheva soliwa shiwana hituko. You see, the Bible says, and when the fullness of time was come, there is a fullness of time coming now. I said there is a fullness of time for you. I ask that God will accelerate it and God will make it come to pass in Jesus' name. The Bible says he sent his word, and after his word had tried him, God raised him to a high position. The word you receive will be tried, and when you have passed, God will honor you and give you that position of rulership like Joseph. Shout amen. Put your hands together, somebody. So there are negative influences. Oh, we are someone. Meanwhile, the person is doing some wrong thing. And the word of God is coming to correct the person. So the person is saying, oh, God is someone being able to preach. What do you want us to preach? What do you want us to preach? Christ is preparing a bride, spotless and without blemish, into the kingdom of God. So one or the other problem may feature in it. So if you are living fine for God, you will just raise your hands and shout hallelujah, and that word will be a blessing to you than you fighting the word. The Bible says we must receive the word with meekness. When the word is preached, you talk back. But the Bible says receive the word with meekness. Receive it with humility. Receive it as a child and allow God's spirit to work in your life. There are negative influences. Somebody can come and influence your wife to leave you, break your marriage. Somebody can come and influence you to hate your subordinate. They are negative influences. You must not allow them. So the Bible says, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you disallow on earth shall be disallowed in heaven. For whatsoever you reject on earth shall be rejected in heaven. So you have to reject what Satan is doing in your life, bringing pain and sorrow and disappointment. You reject it. Open your mouth and lift up your right hand. Lift up your right hand and say after, say it aloud so that I hear you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare I am no longer under the authority of the devil. I am a child of God under the banner and canopy of Jesus Christ. I declare that the works of Satan no longer applies in my life. For this reason, I reject, I refuse in Jesus' name and disallow failure. I disallow disappointments. I disallow destruction in the name of Jesus Christ. I disallow shame and I disallow reproach in the name of Jesus. Oh, shout, I disallow poverty. I disallow sicknesses and diseases. I disallow foolishness in my life in the name of Jesus Christ. And I embrace the wisdom of God. I embrace the understanding of God. I embrace favor. I embrace open doors. I embrace divine glorification. I embrace abundance of prosperity and the blessings of God in the name of Jesus Christ. You have to wake up and open your mouth. Mommy, open your mouth and say it. I may say it may work for you, but it has a limit. But when you open your mouth and say it as many times as you can,
every day it will work for you. I say it will work for you. I say you too, it will work for you. Open your mouth and say that I am free from the arrows of the devil. I am free from witchcraft influence. Come on, God, I know you. I am free from occultic influence. In the name of Jesus, I am free from demonic spells. I am covered, protected, and shielded by the power of the blood. I live in Christ, in God. My going out is blessed. My coming in is blessed. I am blessed in the morning. I am blessed at noontime. I am blessed in the evening. I am blessed in the dead of the night. I am so blessed that my thoughts will turn out to plenteousness. I am so blessed that I work hard. I am so blessed that God will guide me and lead me into the profession and the trade that I must be in. I am so blessed that I will know the will of God and walk in the light of the will of God. I am so blessed that my children are blessed and generations after me shall be blessed. Shout amen in Jesus' name. If you can't say it in the midst of men, go to the beach and shout that I will complete my education successfully. Financial support I will never lack. I will be married by the grace of God once you decide. I will not lack the bride, neither will I lack the groom. It is granted to me. My day of manifestation is coming. I declare by God's word, I am not barren. I am not barren. I am fruitful. I am productive. God is touching my life and making every aspect of me very fruitful. My mind is productive. My body is productive. I am not under any curse. I am freed from all curses. And therefore, if it's conception I'm looking for, God will plant the seed in my womb and nurture it until the ninth month, and I will give forth a birth to a beautiful, bouncy baby boy or girl by the power of God. And I'll bring the child to church, and we will name the child and dedicate the child, and I will leave this child, and this child shall grow like Samuel for the mother. Come on, shout, 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 shout. Come on, shout again and put your hands. Now you are shouting. Your shout is a shout of amen. You are rubber stamping all that I've said, which are good for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Remove the negative influences. Remove them. Remove them. Remove them. It could be an influence of fear. Remove it before you sleep. Remove it. About some 35 years ago, I traveled with a senior minister of the gospel to London. We were on the same flight. Then someone came to meet us at the airport. It was the Archbishop. So when he met us, he came with a team of about 4 or 5 persons. So we had to travel from where we were to the center of town, because that's where they had parked their car. So we boarded a fast train. And in paying for the fare of the train, one gentleman who paid for us omitted
to pay for one person. So instead of seven persons, he must have paid for six persons. So when the inspector came and noticed that receipts were short because he didn't distribute the tickets to us, he kept it. If he had, he would have realized that the number was more than that. And then the inspector came and then he said that he will put a penalty on us. And then the archbishop said, pay it. In the presence of the man, while the man was collecting the penalty, he said, in the name of Jesus, I curse the devourer. Hey! He didn't even allow the inspector to leave there. When the Bible says that there are some things you don't go to bed with, don't go to bed with it. Because by the following morning, they will multiply. He cursed it there and said, Satan, you will no longer take any money from me. Some of you lose monies by heart because you have not learned to deal with the things that are taking money from you. Every time your money has dropped somewhere, every time you don't know what happened, whether somebody picked it from your bag, your wallet, your pay, you don't know. But a child of God must not be losing monies like that, because we curse the devourer. Oh, you are not saying amen. I said we curse the devourer. Deal with it there. Don't wait. The thing occurs on Monday. Get what is some hogba? Mambo pastor money. Deal with it and come and board the Amania. Oh, if the whole church is clapping, let them clap. I will use two examples from the Bible of strong men. The first strong man that I would use was a man of God, because he's listed in the book of Hebrews in the gallery amongst the heroes of faith, is Samson. Samson was conceived by prophecy. And the angel who spoke to the mother said, he shall not drink wine, he shall not see a dead body, and above all, he shall not have his hair shaven. In other words, he shall have dreadlocks like a Rastafarian. But the difference is that he will be serving Yahweh, Jehovah. Then Samson, we are told, left his territory where the Israelites were. And then he traveled and went into a region where the Philistines were. So in Judges chapter 16, the Bible says he went into the region of Gaza. And he started sleeping in Gaza. So he would stay there overnight and sleep in the camp of the territory, which was dangerous. When you are asleep, you are asleep. Then in before verse 9, Samson had a girlfriend. Her name was Delilah. And Delilah was trying to find ways by which to persuade Samson so that she would know the secret of his strength. This request had come from some of the leadership amongst the Philistines, who wanted to do away with the man because the man could use a simple jawbone of a donkey and destroy thousands of people. So Samson was their problem. So in verse 9, Delilah attempts to find out what was the secret of Samson's strength. And the Bible says that Samson said, if you bind me with seven green withes, like maybe a creeping plant that is strong, I will not be able to do anything. So this woman tried it and then called upon the Philistines in the morning to come and attack Samson, and Samson broke it. And the Bible describes it as if it was like a rope that was being bent by fire. It was so easy. Samson broke that thing. Then secondly, in verse 11, this woman persuaded Samson once again so that Samson will reveal the secret of his strength. And Samson said, if you bind me with new ropes, the ropes must not be old, it must not have been used in any other thing before. And Samson was bound. Then she called the Philistines, and when they arrived, Samson broke them easily. Verse 13, still in Judges 16, Samson tells the woman that you have to fasten me now. You know, he says you have to fasten my dreadlocks with a pin. Fasten my dreadlocks with a pin and pin me somewhere. So the dreadlocks were fastened. And when the Philistines were called upon to attack him, he easily just broke loose from that thing that was like a peg that held him down. Then number four, this was the fourth time. Now he would disclose the source of his strength, because the lady kept persuading him, and the lady got Samson's head on the laps. Then he was playing with the hands in the head, and Samson's wisdom disappeared. And Samson said that, I am a child of prophecy. It has been said that no shaving implement must touch my hair. And this they did when Samson was asleep. I'm sure when I'm sleeping and somebody brings a razor to shave my hair, it will just be the first stroke. But Samson was so asleep that they shaved his dreadlocks Sakura. Because if it wasn't Sakura, we would not have been told that before. We would not have been told that before he died and asked to be directed to the pillars in the house where the Philistine lords were celebrating, his hair was growing small. So he was giving a clean shave, Sakura Santo. And this time when the Philistines came, he shook himself. And the Bible says, for he realized the Lord had left him. That's verse 20. He shook himself, but he realized the Lord had left him. May the Lord not leave you and I. He has promised that he will be with us even unto the end of age. But may we not indulge in anything that will cause God to leave our lives. May we not start with the devil. Sorry, may we not start with God and end with the devil. Let me hear an amen. May we not start with excellent spirituality and end up with carnality. May we follow hard after the Lord like Joshua and lead to a successful end. So Samson's strength had left him. So they captured him and they plucked out his eyes so that he could no longer see. In fact, that was the most terrible thing that happened to him. They didn't even kill him, but they plucked out his eyes. So he needed somebody to guide him. And they went to use him, you know, to mill their wheat and other things. So he was using like a nika-nika. And his strength was what was grinding the thing. And Samson realized that this was a reproach. So when his hair began to grow, why didn't Samson wait small for the hair to grow a little more? So that he could break the chain here and break the chain here. But if he did that, his eyes had been plucked off. And he would not be able to avenge anything on anybody
because he couldn't see. So he felt that this was the opportune time. Let me finish with them and finish with myself, because I can no longer live this reproachful life. And Samson held on the pillars as he was aided by a small boy, and he held on the middle pillars and pulled them and said, Lord, destroy these Philistines and let me die as well. The building collapsed and everybody died, and 3,000 people were destroyed. And the Bible says Samson that day destroyed in one moment greater number than he had destroyed throughout his ministry. What am I saying? I'm saying that Samson was God's strong man. And what God wants for us in that parable is that you will be the strong man. Oh, you are not receiving the word. You are not receiving the word. Because unless you are God's strong man, you cannot defeat that other strong man that is the devil. So today, receive that grace that will make you strong. Receive that grace that will make you mighty. Receive that grace that will make you accomplish significantly. I say, receive that grace. There are more territories to conquer. There are more lands to take. There are more enemies to fight. So we cannot afford to be weak. The only thing that we can do is to be strong enough. Oh, shout amen, shout amen, shout amen. In the book of Daniel, the Bible says that they that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. Remember, I didn't say they that know their God, but they that do know, it is present continuous. 10 years ago, you knew God. 5 years ago, you knew God. Last year, you knew God. This year, you must know God. Last week, you knew God. This week, you must know God. Yesterday, you knew God. Today, you must know God further. So they that do know their God. So you can't stop reading the word. You can't stop praying. You can't stop fellowshipping with the brethren. You can't say that I have come to a place. Otherwise, then other strong man may be stronger and may come and attack you and may come and deal with you. So for some of us, the thing has become quite cyclical. We gather a lot from June to the following year, May. And then in May, we get attacks. And things are taking away from us. So it's like an annual cyclical problem. But they that do know their God, I say, they that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. What does exploits mean? Number one, it means a heroic achievement. That is the achievement of a hero. Number two, it means an extraordinary achievement. Number three, exploits means notable and memorable acts of great success. Number four, it means breaking new grounds and setting new records. And number five, outstanding accomplishment in your life. I go over again. Exploits, number one, are heroic achievements. Number two, they are extraordinary achievements. They are not commonplace. They are not normal. Number three, they are notable and memorable. You will remember at all times. Notable and memorable acts of great success. Number four, it means breaking new grounds
and setting new records. And number five, exploits means outstanding accomplishments. That takes us to the second example of a strong man. And in this example, we are going to look at the subject of David. Oh, can I hear an amen? As captured in 1 Samuel chapter 17, where the Bible says that in verse 1, the Philistines were gathered together at Shochoh, which belonged to Judah. Even where the Philistines were gathered belonged to Judah. It wasn't for them. But because they seemed stronger than Israel, they could go to Shochoh. That's 1 Samuel 17, verse 1. In verse 2, Saul and his men were also pitched in the valley of Elah. So Goliath and his men were in one place. Saul and his men were at the other place. Then verse 3, Goliath stood on one mountain with his men, and Saul stood on the other with his men. And Goliath defied the armies of God in verse 10. The armies of Israel, the armies of the living God. And Goliath taunted Israel for 40 days and 40 nights, and there was no challenger. He would stand and talk about the fact that you people are servants of your God, and we too are servants of our gods. That pick one man that he may face me in an encounter of champion of champions. And whoever is declared winner means that they will rule over the others as their subjects. For 40 days, nobody could be elected. Anytime he shouted, it put fear in the whole of Israel. He just would get up and shout. May no voice of a human being or the devil put fear in you so much that you forget what the word of God has said. That for I have not given you the spirit of fear, but I've given you the spirit of love, of power, and of sound mind. May sound mind be your heritage in Jesus' name. Any voice that seemed to be shouting louder against you and shouting louder against your family, any voice that is so doing and therefore paralyzing your faith, today we rebuke that spirit. We break its power upon your life. We break its negative influence upon your life, and we set you free by the finger of God in the name of Jesus Christ. May you not fear the voice of any demonic ancestors. Can I hear an amen? May you not fear the voice of supposed ghosts and men who are dead. May you not fear the voice of any curses that may be acting in the family. And may you not fear the voice of any man that says that he will destroy you. Those words that they say, they will eat their words, and they will be destroyed before their time. You will live on into a good old age, and you will experience the fullness of the blessings of God. Will the shout be louder than that? So David had been sent by the father to bring lunch to his brothers who were in the army. As soon as he delivered the thing, he would not go. And David started asking, who is this man that is shouting there? And what does he mean? And what shall be the reward if anyone should face him and defeat him? Then his brother, one of his brothers, heard him and said, I know your naughtiness. You are too known. Look at what you are here to do. And he says, leave this battleground. It has nothing to do. It's as if to say, you are not in the army, you are not enlisted in the army, you have no experience, no expertise. Go home. But David persisted and kept asking until he got Saul's attention. And Saul said, you are a young man, you haven't got experience. David was about 17 years old. And David said, my Lord, I was in the field with the flock, and a lion came after one of the lambs, and I chased after the lion, caught the lion, held the beard, opened the mouth, took out the lamb, and I slew it. The Bible didn't say a lion's cub. It was a lion. There are some big dogs that are even very frightening, that when they bark once, you will go back. And then the lion that has taken one of the lambs, and you are going to take it from him, the lion will be angry. And the lion may leave its catch and prey and will turn it on you and finish you and go back to the first one. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Oh, can I hear an amen from some of you? So the lion was slain. Such an accomplishment, such an exploit by David. And David went ahead to say, and then a bear. When you see a bear, their necks are very thick. You cannot hold the neck. He didn't say a baby bear. They are huge and they are strong, and they eat flesh. They can catch a fish and eat it raw. They eat some animals. So David was facing two dangerous animals. The second was the bear. And the Bible says he also came and took one of them, and David said, I'm a shepherd, I'm not a hireling. And he went and dispossessed the bear and killed the bear alone with his bare hands. You cannot even kill a Doberman with your hand. There are some dogs, when they shake their heads, your hands will leave their neck. And Saul said, let's try this young man. Please don't despise the young people. God has something to do with them. When senior pastor is not around and somebody else must preach, stop that thing of selecting people, because God may use a David to slay a Goliath. Your challenge, God may use a small boy, a small woman to deal with that challenge. So stop that thing and just present yourself to the power of the Spirit and to the Word of God. Say amen, somebody. So David tried the armor of Saul, it didn't work. And he went, took a bag, went into a brook, some standing water, and picked five stones out of that. Why five? David used the first one to deal with Goliath. And when you read in 2 Samuel, David slew four other brothers of Goliath. So each stone was for a giant. And I want you to know, you are a giant slayer. You are not an ordinary person, because the weapons in your mouth are great. Oh, come on. I want you to shout and clap. We are... So David went there, put a stone in the sling, and released it straight into the forehead of Goliath. And down Goliath went. David has said, after Goliath had threatened that I will slay you and give your body to the beast of the field. David said, I will cut off your head with a knife, and I will give your body to the birds of the air. And when he fell, David went to remove his sword from the sheath, and David cut off his head. And David took the head of Goliath as a trophy, and he came to town with it. And Saul went to inquire, who is that small boy who did that thing? They say, he's the son of Jesse. I say, bring him. And when David was entering the palace, he was carrying his Olympic trophy, the head of Goliath. Today I declare that the neck of your enemies are under your feet. The neck of your enemies are in your hands, because God has already delivered by the word of God your enemies into your hands. Let me look at the final scripture, and then we move on. Say amen. Amen. Look at Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah 49, 24 and 25. This was quoted on our platform of prayer in the course of the week by one of the ministers. It's worthy looking at it. Isaiah 49, 24. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive be delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered, for I will contend with him that contended with thee, and I will save thy children. Let's go back to the top. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive be delivered? Look, when that lion came for the lamb from David's flock, the Bible is asking that, can you go and dispossess the lion of the prey of the lamb that it has taken? Can you go and dispossess the lion? A crocodile has taken somebody. I didn't hear an amen. And you chase the crocodile into the water. I heard about that. Somebody's friend was taken like that. The person chased that creature with a stick, and then the animal got angry and released the person, and they came out. Normally, if you look, it says, but thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. In other words, no matter how strong the enemy is, no matter how mighty that enemy is that has taken that prey from the flock of David is, the Bible says that such a mighty person shall fall. And it says, the prey of the terrible, is talking about the wicked person, shall be delivered. Today, I declare you are delivered. The prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contended with thee, and I will save thy children. There are some enemies, when they have captured, you dare not go there. But God says, for your sake, I will go there for you. I will fight them. I will contend with them. I will deal with them. I will subdue them. I will destroy their defense. I will destroy their weaponry. I will disarm them. And I will set you free, and set even your children free by the Spirit of Almighty God. The prey of the terrible shall be delivered. And today you are delivered by the power of the blood of Jesus. You are delivered. You are set free. Oh, shout amen, shout amen, shout amen, shout amen. The captives of the mighty shall be taken away. You will be taken away from setbacks. You'll be taken away from failures.
You will be taking away from what the enemy is inflicting upon you. God will deliver you and set you free.
Before we go into prayer, I'll tell you this story. So when we stand praying against the evil strong man, you will not come here only parading your looks. But you will pray till the pants on your face get wet. There was this man who was working with one of the prominent banks in Ghana. His problem was that he loved alcohol. He loved akpateshi and will mix it with anything to have. Banking and being an alcoholic do not agree. But his boss loved him because whenever he sat to do the work, he did it well. So they would grant him leave to go for therapy and other things, and it was not working. The same alcohol was compromising his work, his job, his delivery in the office. Apart from that, the same alcohol started affecting his liver. So by the time I met him, his liver was getting damaged. The same alcohol was affecting his relationship with his wife. And the same alcohol was affecting his carrying out his responsibilities towards the children. So look at one thing. Number one, his work. Number two, his health. Number three, his marriage. And number four, his children. I met him and I prayed with him. It wasn't in church. And suddenly something came out of him. You could see it manifest. It just came out of him. Then he became calm and thanked us. After you are delivered that way, go and study the word. Go and pray more. And remain under good teaching. But he didn't allow himself to enjoy this. He went back to associate with the wrong friends. And there was a negative influence on him again. After about 8 months, I heard that the liver problem got worsened and he died. He died leaving the wife, leaving the children. He died leaving the benefits that he could have accrued over years ahead in the bank. He died painfully with his liver destroyed and his stomach protruding very high. I wanted to know that his problem was one demonic strong man, and it attacked even his finances. If he was paid within 1 week, he drank all into his stomach. There are some strong men that we must take out of our lives, and it's not a joke. There are some strong men that are disturbing some families, and it's not enough for you just to be free. It's enough to get the family free. Can I hear an amen? Because maybe you may go and your children will have to come and fight the same thing. Church, the Lord showed me the end of some families. And he used that figuratively to speak to me that one family, they would do very, very well. But by the time they end, the strong man would have overpowered them. And they end up in a miserable way. And the thing is constant and consistent. Today, by the power that is in the name of Jesus, by the power that is in the blood of Jesus, you shall be delivered. Amen.
Oh, some are not saying amen. I say you shall be set free.
Amen.
See, what you don't deal with today may come after you tomorrow. Listen to me. The Bible says God told the Israelites, when you get into the land that I usher you into, drive out the Canaanites, drive out the Hivites, drive out the Hittites, drive out the Jebusites and the Gergesites, drive them out of the land.
You have a job to do. Christianity is not a tea party. It is a tea party after you have driven the Jebusites and the Gergesites and the Jebusites and the Ammonites away. Drive them away. So your end is not sorrowful. Please rise to your feet in Jesus' name. Oh, this should have attracted a big clap offering, acknowledging that God has started his work in your life already. Oh, I want the whole church to clap. Clap for the word of God. The psalmist said, I rejoice at thy word as one that has found great spoil. Are you ready to pray? Are you ready to pray? Don't be the type that when we're praying that you're looking around and looking around and looking at your phone and looking at who is calling you and looking at who is texting you. We are dealing with a matter of life and death. As for God, he can bless you now. But if the Hivites are there, they will attack you and they will take it. It's easy for God to bless you, but it's better to clear these things so that God will bless you. Can I hear an amen? Some of you, by the time we finish, God told me by the time we finish these prayers, we will see how the blessings of God will manifest speedily, speedily, speedily. Mekandarabasua. Are you ready to pray? Don't pray tea party prayers. Don't pray dining table prayers. Open your mouth wide. The Bible says, and I will fill you. Deal with the strongholds of darkness, the forces that may seek to make you paralyzed in your old age. There are some families I saw, their end is that they get mental health problems. They get mental health problems. There are some families. These families I saw, they go through the pain of poverty and rejection, and they are left alone on their own. But may that not be your story. There is a strong man in some families that will not let marriages stay, and therefore these strong men are fighting the marriages of the people. Oh, these same demons have gone ahead to fight the marriages of the children. That's strong man that is fighting your pregnancy and conception, today it shall be dislodged, it shall be displaced. That strong man that is attacking your academic life, that there has been a stagnation, that strong man that is fighting the fact that you could be an international business woman or an international businessman and is putting a blockade in your way, today in the name of Jesus, we destroy the works of the enemy. We destroy the powers of darkness. We overpower the strong man and we declare that he's stripped of his powers. Today there shall be deliverance for the prey of the terrible. There shall be deliverance
for the cutting of the wicked. May the power of the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross may be released into your life. Oh, don't stop praying. May your life be taken from the mighty who is evil. May you, the lawful captive, be delivered from Satan. Be delivered from the devil. Oh, may you be delivered. But thus saith the Lord, the captive of the mighty shall be taken away. May the power of the mighty be destroyed. May the power of the mighty be destroyed right now. May you be delivered. For saith the Lord, I will contend with them that contend against you. In Mandore Boshile Rebekia. I yell, in Mandara Basia, I yell, Kiastaya.